welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzey. Our guest today is Chris Wyatter of Wyatter & Associates. He is a business manager. We're going to learn, A, what his role is, and B, we're going to get some really great advice, whether you're a songwriter or you're an artist or even an executive in the industry, on how to manage your finances and what you should be doing in those roles. So anyway, sit back and enjoy the ride. Hey, welcome back, AIMP Nashville Pubcast listeners. This is your host, Tim Hunzey, and today we have an interesting episode with my good friend, Chris Wyatter of Wyatter & Associates. Yes, it took him a lot of time to figure out how to title and name his company, but he is a business manager, a great business manager, and a good friend, and I'm excited to sit and talk about all things business managers and what makes Chris tick. So, my friends, welcome Chris Wyatter. Chris, welcome aboard, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the call here.
Oh, it's going to be great, man. Looking forward to picking your brain a little bit. But I usually start off by just asking my guests to give us a little background of what got you into your role as a business manager.
Man, just luck. Honestly, just luck. I was looking for a job and met some guys over at a local firm, talking accounting with somebody in front of them. And they basically said, hey, you're looking for a job. And I've been doing it ever since for about 25 years now, so I love it. It's the best gig in the world.
Did you go to school for finance? You didn't cover that, so or did you just get out of college and learn how to?
No, I've got a school for accounting. I've got a master's in accounting as well, finance, and was in school for a long, 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 long time. So I have multiple degrees, and used to irritate my parents by just staying in school and not having a big plan in life. So there you go. But it's worked out for me, okay.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. I just want to make sure you got that in case any of your clients were listening going, wait, he didn't say anything. He has an education in what he's doing.
Just winging it.
I'm just faking it. Somebody's going to pull this curtain back and realize Oz is just a joke. But has not happened yet, Chris. Hadn't happened yet. So let's just jump in. And I bet out of all the careers, yours is one I kind of find, at least in my experience of running up to people when I talk about a business manager, people aren't 100% sure what that is. Why don't you give us a little background on what that role looks like, what it is you do for clients?
Man, it is the most diverse job probably in the music business. So you know, at the core, we're doing accounting functions like paying bills and reconcile checking accounts and doing payrolls and turning it into financials and then a tax return. But in the normal course of business, you're also doing things like helping the client purchase vehicles, cars, home, getting home insurance, auto insurance, health insurance. You're working on estate planning with the client. You're helping them with their investments. You're turning on their utilities, turning off their utilities. You know, there's absolutely nothing. If it involves spending a penny, then you're involved. You're in it, taking care of it. I mean, I went to Florida a couple weeks ago and helped a client buy a boat. So you know, it's just all over the place. So yeah, we've got some executives, got some pub companies, got a couple small labels, songwriters, you know, musicians, artists, that sort of thing. A couple tennis players, you name it. We're all over the place, but we're handling everything financial for them, mapping out their income, putting them on a budget, making sure the budget, everything maps out. They've got a plan for everything they want to do. We help them recognize what their goals are, then kind of work towards achieving those goals, whether it be on a yearly basis or, you know, over time, sometimes in short-term goals. But we're making sure that they have all the tools to be the boss of their own companies.
You maybe walk us through the life cycle of an artist's career from like your financial perspective on how your role might evolve from development through mainstream success with an artist. Because I know you've worked with some from potential to success. What does that kind of look like in general from your perspective?
You know, up until recently, it always took a couple of years, right? You'd sign. I've seen some stuff with FGL or what have you, where you know, that was pretty fast. you know, they signed a record deal. By the time they did, they already had a platinum single by the time they signed a record deal. That was one of the fastest ones I've seen. But then most of the time, you've got a client that you've worked with for five, 10 years before they start having success. You see all sorts of things. Definitely in the new world, it's definitely a lot speedier. But you got a client that, in most cases, they'll generally get a record deal before they get a pub deal. I've seen that most of the time. That record deal nowadays they tend to make a good chunk there. There were times where that was you're getting a record deal for like $40,000, and that had to last you for quite a while. New deals are quite a bit more than that, so you can definitely get that money and sit still for a minute and be okay, and not worry about running out and paying your taxes, and you can do everything you need to do. But the new world is definitely a lot speedier. I've had a client that signed his record deal last March, played his first show in, I would say, late April, and is now on direct support for one of the major tours out in the market right now. And you're just kind of like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. That's so fast. It's only had two songs out on radio or two or so, and the rest is Spotify type hits, that sort of thing. Holy cow, how's he going to play 45 minutes? That's wild.
What are some of the most important financial habits, or maybe disciplines, if you want to use that word, that successful artists should maintain or learn?
The most important is know your business, right? Don't just hand it off and let other people deal with it. Don't just let your manager manage. Don't let your business manager just do their job. And be involved and understand the basics of how things work. Understand how your tour manager is supposed to act and when they bring the money in and how important it is their record keeping is, so that, hopefully maybe you've tried it for a little bit. You were the early on tour manager and you have a little bit of experience of how it's supposed to be done. If you take that on, you're able to be the boss and be a proper boss to understand that there are rules and reasons and everything for why you do things, right? There's a reason that you want the money brought into the business manager first thing on Monday morning after your weekend run, because you need to get it in the bank so you can pay all your bills. And there's a reason that your paperwork is turned in properly, your cash always equals, the money you take out. There's no unaccounted for dollars that are slipping through anywhere. Little things like that, you've got to be the proper boss. You have to know how everything works. To learn is important. And then you can hold other people accountable for the job that they're doing.
Taking a little bit of a different lean, I know your role is different than a manager and a lawyer and an agent and all that, but do you get involved in deals? How involved do you get, like when an artist is a negotiator, or maybe a writer is starting to seek a publisher? Do you get involved in those areas, or do you more get financial advice in those areas?
We get involved as it relates to the financial aspect of all those. Okay, so in a pub deal, there's definitely financial aspects into how, maybe it could be the draw timing, because some deals are, you get your all up front or whatever it may be. Kind of we talk through those different things. The royalty stream, especially when you get on a pub deal, you've got an artist that's somewhat successful. I've got quite a few other artists. I know what the template is. I know what's out there is options sometimes as far as like splits that you can get or admin percentages, things of that nature. So I use that bank of knowledge to help my clients negotiate the best deal possible. When I'm dealing with a certain pub company, if I've got five people over there, I kind of have an idea of what they're willing to do for certain artists or not. So I kind of can use that to the advantage. As it relates to, sponsorships, well, I've got quite a few clients. I know exactly what, some of the requirements are. You get X amount of dollars. Well, what's the average that most people post related to that or have to post on their social media? Well, I can tell you because I've got quite a few deals. So we do get involved for sure, but it's related to the money aspect. But as you see, everything's tied to that money side of things. Now, you know, I don't get to anything creative. I don't get into like if a client doesn't want to work with a certain brand, that has nothing to do with anything. I stay out of that. It's just strictly money and how things involve the money.
There's just been waves of catalog sales, and not just publishing, but records and, you know, producer royalties, whatnot. People are really moving into this area. What's your take on that trend, and what do you feel some of the key considerations are that you walk through with your clients when they're looking at going down that path?
I mean, I'm all about it. I love the fact that these guys, you know, especially some of mine, have just been able to break the bank, so to speak, and just kind of turn it and next, you know, go do their next deal 3 or 4 years later, crank another one. And like, it's crazy. It's insane. I love it. Good for them. And they continue to deliver hits and they put life-changing money inside their bank. I'm one of the guys that believe that you know, the goal is to get your pub deal, build enough catalog that you can sell it.
Yeah.
I mean, all about it. Like, you know, no reason to hang on to it with that money and, you know, put it in the bank and let it roll for you, because it's going to make a lot more with compounding interest than it is just sitting with your publisher and whatever, however, just play it out over time, right? I just think if you can get that money in the bank, then go for it. You know, the producer side, the same way. We've had been involved with quite a few producer deals. It's pretty neat. Sold some masters over the years that done, you know, some huge multiples, and like, it's life-changing money you're putting in the bank. Obviously, if you're selling your master, you probably already have good money, but still, for some of the guys have done their end of their careers, and to be able to put these massive multiples in the bank, that's pretty amazing. They have life-changing money that they can give to their kids, grandkids, and whatnot, and that's pretty amazing stuff.
I'm just curious on a maybe a 30,000 foot view of that. I mean, that's a big decision, particularly, I get it, selling writer share and the catalog sells and under that, but if you're selling your artist recorded music, your legacy, or your body of work, that just seems so intense to me. I realize the money can be really good, but what are some things they should consider? Because you are then, to a degree, letting go of control of your stuff, where, like, on the reverse of that, Taylor Swift's buying hers back so she can own it and have control.
Have control of, like, the syncs and choices that they have, but, you know, couple of the guys that I've done that with are, you know, in their 70s and 80s, and I don't think they care much anymore. They care as long as they can approve wherever song their commercial goes into and make sure it's something always tasteful. But when you're getting 26 times multiple on top of that, that's insane. You know, like, you're putting in a ton of money, paying cap gains on it, just not looking back, you know? So I don't have an issue with that. I'm not telling anybody they need to do a deal. Here are the numbers, you take a look and you decide. Most people choose that big check when the time comes.
So what's your philosophy on helping artists prepare for, like, their long-term financial help? And more specifically, this question I'm leaning into, once maybe the radio hits are slowing down, or maybe they're hitting a plateau in their career, maybe they've been doing this for a minute, what is some of the philosophy you have on helping them prepare for what that looks like and how to manage that? Is the income may not be where it was, but it's still a healthy income.
Well, you have to start at the very beginning. Like, it's not so much you wait until then and then go, okay, don't put some away. You have to be at dollar one as soon as you can, and as soon as you can get to the point of, like, having a little bit extra by budgeting properly, is try to put some money away for the tomorrow. Every time you get a hit, say if you're a songwriter and you've got you're starting to get the ancillary money from your PRO, when that money comes in, you put the tax money aside. That's most important. If you can, put 50% towards maybe paying down some debt, and then 50% towards your investment side of things, right? To where you put in your investment account and hopefully that money is now compounding and winning for you. Just every single time you do that. And if you, every time you get a sponsorship, got to take some portion out of it and get that paycheck going towards you. Every time you have a winning tour date, right? What I try to do for my guys is making sure that, you know, they start becoming profitable, figure out this monthly amount that we're going to give them via paycheck and try to get them to live in that so that everything over and above that is extra money that you can put towards your investments and put towards your paying down debt. So if you're always doing that, you have money going towards your career can go up. You have money, your career can go down, and you still have money. You just have to be smart about not spending and chasing when your career is going down, right? So you have to be able to be aware in that moment to go, all right, I need to cut back. Maybe I don't need 5 buses. Maybe I don't need 2 buses. Maybe I go back to 1, you know, and not let your pride get in the way. Because unfortunately, sometimes pride gets in the way and we don't want to let ourselves be known for, okay, my career is scaling back a little bit. I have to maybe carry a little less production. Maybe I don't need all the lights that I had before. That is a tough spot for a client to be in. But it does happen, and you have to talk about it and be prepared by always, if you put money away, it lets you ride out a little bit of the, you know, the shock of it all, right? If you have money, you're okay. That you can maybe go a little longer with that production and see if you can get that career turned the way you want it. But if it continues to slide backwards, because not everybody's going to be, there's only certain Luke Bryans of the world, right, that can just continue to rock for years and years and still have great ticket sales and all those things. There's just everybody's, you know, most people tend to fall back a little bit, and you want to be prepared for that to be able to adjust your spending downwards.
Ask you this, what advice would you give someone who wants to maybe become a business manager in the music industry? What kind of skill sets do they need to start building?
First of all, learn the craft. As my old boss, Gary Smith, said to me, going like, you have to learn the craft. It's great that you went to college, but you got to watch it, see it in action. You got to know that budgeting is important. You've got to know that doing profit losses are important. You've got to know that you turn all those things, those daily activities with good work into financials. And the financials, if you turn them into a year, turn into your tax return, you got to know the whole process and how it works. You got to know all the things that you have to do. By learning the craft, it's just not that. You have to know when to get them the proper insurance, right? The touring insurance, you've got that right away. But then you got to add umbrellas, you got to add possibly cancellation insurance, so many different things that you have to add and you have to learn to know to do. That takes time. Having that knowledge at least takes 2 to 3 years to get that in place, and you really have to absorb it. But then also you have to have relationships and know how to communicate to people. One of the most important things outside of the knowledge and is being able to communicate. And it's easier said than done. You've got to know how to communicate to your client to be able to, and their teams as well, right? The agents, the managers, how things are going, how we're doing, where we are profit-wise, explaining all the inner workings of how this money's coming in to where you can help craft a better tomorrow for these clients. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time. It's not easy to do. It's best when you have, I've been lucky in my career, is to have great friendships with a few of the managers that I work well with and have quite a few clients with, a lot of the publishers that I've had a lot of clients with and relationships with and just become friends with. Agents, the same way you use that. Attorneys, the biggest, where they help you bring in clients and help you craft them and work with them in order to help them grow. And then as they grow, they built this reputation where they talk about, hey, my business manager is really good. Well, you should go meet with him. And if you get that done properly, then you can grow in this business.
Word of mouth, best advertising ever. Best ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing, you know, it's the only way I want to go about it, short of my number one signs I put out front there, is the only advertising I want to do.
Is there one thing about your job that still excites you after all these years that keeps you getting excited to get out of bed and get in the office?
And I tell you, like, I enjoy the relationship aspect of the clients that we have. You know, I've got some of them, like, you build friendships, right? Some of my clients I've literally been with for 20-something years, and those are special close relationships where you literally have seen their kids go from not even being born to, like, you know, going to college and stuff like that. It's wild. It's the coolest thing. The friendships you have, a lot of my clients, because they come word of mouth, is that they've got a lot of their friends, a lot of their best friends are clients as well. And so you build that relationship with them, and we all joke together and laugh together and, you know, whatever, maybe you grab a beer or go play golf or do something. And that's just so much fun to watch them encourage themselves, encourage each other and cheer for each other and get excited for another person's success. That just makes it to where it's awesome. You know, like, you're one of the coolest things for me was being, you know, being a Kentucky boy. I love chick music, as my good friend Morgan Stapleton makes fun of me for. But, like, I love the Judds. Like, that was my thing. I grew up listening to the Judds, and to get to work with Naomi is the coolest thing that I think, you know, one of the coolest things I think I could be proud of and for myself, right? I mean, like, going, I can't believe that really happened. But to have that and go through all the ups and downs of their career that I was a part of, and, you know, obviously the way that it ended, is, like, it's sad, but it's awesome that, you know, like, that's me. That's my friend. And then that I got to know and got to spend so much time with and explain to me, like, their process of writing songs and, you know, playing music and things of that nature, going, like, you know, I'm just a dumb Kentucky boy that happened to like accounting, and I get to hear all this stuff and get all to see all this history, and that's amazing. Best gig ever.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzey, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter, and this has been a Dime Collective production.